blatant messages, life messages that James and Betty bring into any environment they get to serve is the unity of the body of Christ. Regardless of what he's not talking about uniformity, us coming together as the body of Christ, knowing that we are saved by Christ alone and we have put our trust in him, that makes us brothers and sisters. And it is not until we come together that we even realize what God is doing, because we get so isolated in all of our corners. But when we come together, and the bits and pieces of what God is doing all over the world, to go to another country and go, what is this he is doing? What is this marvel? And it gives us courage. And we come back together and we put it all together. We come back together and we see that and know and consider and understand only the hand of the Lord could have done this. Only the Holy One of Israel could create this. Only he. Here is the thing. Did you notice with me that it says, when the poor and needy. See, here is the prerequisite. This is all we got. Is that he is calling us to own our thirst and to come to him as those who are poor and needy. In his economy, it is the needy who receive. It is the way he does it. Only the barren miraculously conceive. I mean, do we want something that we could plan and put together with our godliest efforts, with our big teams, the big players all come together and let's plan a move of God? It does not work that way. It takes us saying, we're poor and needy. We're desperate for you to work. We cannot do it on our own. We are barren, Lord. And when we come to him barren, that's when we miraculously conceive over and over again. Do we want what can be conceived by our good and godly planning, or do we want something that can only be conceived by the Holy Spirit? I believe if we stay apart, I believe in that togetherness, we see and understand and consider the hand of the Lord has done this, but apart, we will not see this downpour. We're so spread out that a drop is falling here and a drop is falling here until the body of Christ unites. It will be scattered showers on planet Earth. But once we unite in common purpose to see salvation to the ends of the earth through the great name of the Lord Jesus Christ, now we're talking. Now we're talking. All we have to do is own our thirst. All we have to do is say to him, nothing else will do. I want you to pray with me, and we're going to pray it tonight, that God would begin working in such a way in all sorts of streams and traditions throughout Christianity, that he would pick out key people and that he would cause them to have such a hunger they cannot stand but to cry out to God to do it for them. Their people are parched with thirst. What would happen if we begin praying, God, go throughout Christendom, into every denomination, every single sector, every single part, all over the world. Go in. Because here is what I believe with all of my heart. I think there are exceptions to this, but I think this is the general rule. I believe that influence often comes from the outside, but transformation comes from the inside. You can almost take that one to the biblical bank, because if transformation is something that comes from within, we need to pray that key people throughout all of these different traditions in Christianity, that it will go, that it happens within. People still have trouble trusting someone or do not see themselves identifying with them if they're always from the outside coming in. It takes people within those moves, within those traditions, within those streams. You and I want to pray that key people throughout every single branch of Christianity get hungry, where nothing else will do but the Spirit of the living God. Oh, that the honored would say, I am poor and thirsty. I'm just going to let that fall a second. What would happen if the honored men and women said, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm dying of thirst. I'm telling you, I do not know how I can manage another year of ministry if God does not come through afresh for me. What would happen? What would happen? I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I want to own it. I told him here recently, I'm desperate for it. I'm desperate for it. I'll even stop telling you how to bring a downpour. I'll stop turning in my notes to you and go, this is how I really think it would work. I'm tired of telling you how to do it. Just do it. Do it. But I want my eyes to see it. I want my eyes to see it. I know he can do more than this. I know he can. But we're not poor and needy yet. All it would take is for us to own our thirst, because I think we really are thirsty. And when a hungry people persist in appearing full, there exists no provision of food. When a parched people persist in appearing wet with the Spirit, there exists no promise of water. Our persistent playing, I believe, is part of the Spirit's delaying. We just keep playing with the thing. You and I both know it. We're starving. We want something more. We know there's something more, and we want it with everything we've got in us, but we will not admit it because we are afraid for people that we think are lesser spiritually than we are to see our need. When honored people will come and drop down and say, I am starving here. I'm thirsty here. Lord, give it. Only you can give it. I believe that out of his great mercy, God is about to push this envelope with us. Now, listen, please test the Spirit. I want you to pray about this and see if this is so. But as clearly as I know how to discern what he laid upon my heart, I feel like I am bringing it to you as I understand it. But I think what we will see, if not now, very, very soon, is him pushing this point with us over and over, because I think it's very possible that what has satisfied you before will no longer satisfy you now. That how you've been doing the Christian thing and the ministry thing and the thing that has been working for years, decades, maybe your pastors and teachers, or your in evangelism, whatever it may be, and you've sought him and you have loved him and you've gone on. I mean, it's worked for years. I want to ask you a question. Is there any chance that just here lately you've kind of wanted to admit something? It's not working like it used to. Would anybody own that? Something. And see, you know what? Sometimes it's just like our lack, like we've just gotten lax somehow. But I just want to suggest to you that it may not necessarily be that. It may not be an accident at all, and it may not be chalked up just to personal weakness, as weak as we are. Sometimes God will stir a sense of lack when he wants to give us more. I think I can say to you that what has worked for you before may not work for you very soon. What yielded results before will not yield the same results now. It is a new day. Look at one another and say, it's a new day. And yesterday's outpouring is not going to carry us today. It's not going to do it. I believe he's going to push this with us, because I believe that we are having sort of an angst of spirit. I truly believe that we are. And it's very, very biblical. We so desperately need a fresh awakening. And that's everything this weekend is about. I believe that this thing that is not working the way it used to work, will be for us, not against us. It will be a blessing and not a curse, unless we sit back stuck with it. But if we say, Lord, my same thing, the way I used to get up, have my same time, or do the exact same thing is not working the exact same way, because it is not the exact same day. Has he got you in a holy dissatisfaction? By any chance, anybody notice it's just not going the way it used to go? Matthew 6, 7, and 8, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they're heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I was studying that just here recently, and I felt like God just penetrated my heart with the truth that sometimes he'll know what I need before I ask him, and I'll get up and have my entire prayer time and never mention what it really is I need. He's going, I know what you need, but you hadn't said it once. I mean, I'm glad you said all that. That's good. But that really wasn't what you needed. What you need is that you feel bored and drowsy. And what you really need is for me to wake you up. Wake you up. We are so overstimulated in our culture. We are numb. You tell me today that what we're not really looking for from God is just to feel something again. To feel again. Chris told us this afternoon, we will live out of our passion. What we're passionate about, if we could get our zeal back, our passion back. Nobody would have to tell us to share our faith. One reason we don't share our faith is because we do not have enough to spare. What if we did? What if we did? Here, Lord, I need a fresh awakening. I need a fresh awakening. I want to feel my heart again. I want to feel it pound with passion for you. Lord, I need a fresh awakening. One of the mysteries of faith is that faith does not easily satiate. And I want to see if I can explain that. Because our souls are meant to be satisfied. Our souls can be satisfied within us. But faith is much harder to satisfy. And I'm going to tell you why. If you think of it in these terms. Because faith always believes for more than it sees. And that's why for some of you that really do walk by faith, you're not satisfied right now. Because you know good and well that what you're seeing, there's more than what we're seeing. Because your eyes continually look ahead. And you know, this is not it. I mean, I'm glad of it. I thank God for it. But this is not it. This is not it. And wouldn't it be something for us to just say, instead of writing a new chapter of the Emperor's New Clothes, is that like, you know what? Like, Lord, we're naked here. And we could stand to be clothed with some power. Amen? We could stand to be clothed with some power. Anybody but me? Because, like, I'm just done with anything less than that. I'm just absolutely done with anything less than that. Faith says, what my eyes have seen of God in my generation is not enough. What my eyes have seen of the lost saved is not enough. I'm not seeing enough people saved at my conferences. I don't know about you. I'm not. I mean, this is going to end because I'm telling you, I am ready to say I'm barren. I'm barren. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'll own it, Lord. I want to see people saved. I want to see people saved. What my eyes have seen of the captive set free is not enough. What my eyes have seen of the Holy Spirit's power is not enough. We know there is more. We know there is more. I want to feel that fire burn in my bones. Our eyes have been dry toward a fresh move of God for too long. I believe that God pressed it on my heart that for many of us, the first drops of rain, this outpouring that he has promised to the thirsty and to the dry, these first drops of rain will come in the form of our tears. When was the last time you just wept before God and went, this isn't enough. I want you. I want to see you. I want to experience you. I want want to know your presence with everything. When was a man or a woman, when was the last time we just like shed tears for a lost world? When was the last time? Because our revival, our awakening, our downpour will start down our cheeks. I believe it with all my heart. It will begin with our tears. Listen, as long as we pretend we've got what we're longing for, when we don't, we will woefully be left to our lack. No one in this room is in severer drought than the one who cannot remember the last time you cried a tear for a broken world. That's drought. No one in this room is in severer drought than the one who cannot remember the last time you cried a tear for a broken world. That's drought. What if we got courage enough to go, bring back my tears for the lost? Bring back my tears for the captives, those imprisoned, those dying on planet Earth. Bring back my passion for what you, Jesus, are passionate about. As we cry out for downpour, and I'm going to tell you something, I believe it's coming. You know why? Because I believe the truth is we are thirsty. And it's the only thing we have to do, James, as much as I understand, the only thing we have to do is just go, I am thirsty. I'm poor and needy, Lord. And I'm just crying out. I'm just crying out. He says, if you do that, I'll pour it out on thirsty land. But on the land that says, I mean, we're just like plenty wet here. You'd scare us half to death. We don't want anything new. Just as long as you do what you've done before, we're good with it. But you know how we are here. Amen. I'm just tired of saying it to him. I'm going with him. And you know what? I don't even know where we're going. I just thudded. Very recently, I wrote a post just going, I'm sick to death of telling him where I want it to go. I'm just going where God is going. I'm going where God is going. I'm going where God is going. Well, the next morning I was putting on my mascara at my mirror and I set the mascara wand down on the counter and I just turned around and I said, where are we going? Because I want to go where you're going, but if you could tell me where we're going. Because I don't know about you, but you know, faith is such a blast to me. I love the adventure of it, but I always love it best in retrospect. Looking back, I go, now that was an exciting time. I love that. There you're just kind of going, because suddenly it's not concrete. It's just like water under your feet. Water, water. So you don't know where you're going. We just want to go with you, Lord. I believe that God placed it on my heart to tell you that it, as it comes, and it will, if we'll own our thirst, it will. If we'll be willing to stop telling what it has to look like, it's coming, it's coming. But we must be prepared in advance for scoffers. I will say that again. We must be prepared in advance for scoffers. I want you to look at one another and say, be prepared for scoffers. And here's the thing. The unbelieving world scoffing is not going to bother us that much. We are used to them thinking that we are idiots. Can we just own that one? I mean, we're used to that. Of course they think that. We've got that one down. That's not what's going to bother us so much. What's going to bother us, and I believe that God is saying, get prepared for it so you know in advance it's coming, so when it does happen, you are not all disturbed and all rocked by it, but it's going to come from some in our own Christian realm, our own brothers and sisters. We're going to have people that are honestly going to want to debate and argue with us about awakening and downpours. I was like, well, what do you want here? They're going to say, that's not the way it should look. You know what, dude? I'm just asking you, are you thirsty? Are you hungry? I can't think of the way to the semantics to get it like you want it. But I will say to you, I'm just thirsty and I'm hungry. But there'll be scoffers and they will be the far bigger threat. The one within our own brothers and sisters, our own family of God, far, far more demoralizing And yes, it will come from bullies. And yes, it will come from the mean-spirited. And I want to tell you, I've learned so many things. I could have spent the whole evening on what I've learned from these two people. But they have lived something. They've taught me something over and over and over again. And I've watched them live it. James says all the time, you know what? Just when people hate you, just love them. Just love them. You just keep loving them. When the more they hate you, you just keep loving them. You just keep loving them. Don't you just get it in your mind that they cannot make you stop loving them. He said, you just love them all the more. They hate you, you love them. You love them. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. We got to be ready. We got to be ready. We've got to be ready. What God began to show me is that it would not just come from the mean-spirited. It'll also come from people who are just genuinely concerned about us. Not mean about it, just like, man, I hate to see that happen. I'm so glad y'all are laughing. I wanted to be funny so bad today. The kinds that are going to go bless their hearts. You know, they were really balanced for a while. What is balanced exactly? Because I'm not sure I've ever met anyone like fully on full throttle, spirit effectiveness and abundance that I could walk away from and go, now that is a balanced person. I don't, maybe, I mean, I want, if you're here, I'll meet you afterwards. But I just don't know where we're getting that. That's the big goal. Let's all be balanced in Jesus' name. Let's all be balanced. They're going to feel sorry for us. They're going to say, what a shame. What a shame. In that early downpour of the New Testament church, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:8, we are treated as imposters and yet are true. That's going to be us. The scoffers, I believe that God put on my heart, please test the spirit, pray and see if this is confirmed to you in prayer and in the study of the word. I believe that he placed it on my heart that the scoffers will have an alternative answer for everything, an alternative for every single thing we see. There'll be an alternative. They will not see it as the hand of God. An alternate answer. Unity will be called defection. Brokenness will be called instability. Grace will be called compromise. And the genuinely prophetic will be called false teaching. You see, if this does not happen. And because of those things, defection, instability, compromise, and false teaching, because those things will be simultaneously in effect, you and I, who are believing God for a vivid downpour of His Spirit and recognize it as it comes, we will have to be taking the risk of being lumped in with the ones that really are defecting, unstable, compromising, and false. And it will be hard for us because we don't want to be mixed up with them. We'll want to say over and over again, no, ours is the truth. Listen, people are not convinced by us going, no, we're really true here. We're really true here. That does not work. They won't take it by our words. We're going to have to risk being lumped into something not of the Holy Spirit to endure in that which is of the Holy Spirit. And this will be the hardest part, is that the weeds will be among the wheat. And just exactly as Jesus said in Matthew 13:24-30, to pull up all the weeds and cast them out would run the risk of pulling up the wheat. So you and I have got to be prepared to be mixed up with the false as we're trying to be the true. And we're just going to want to say it over and over again. No, this is really us. We're really, I mean, we're, and it won't do any good. because the only test will be, please stay with me here, the only test will be endurance. What endures, what endures, what endures. You and I will have to be patient while the Spirit is tested, while our trials are used by God, please hear me when I say this, to prove us genuine. At the same time, with the greatest outpouring of God on your entire life, you will simultaneously be entrusted with trials for the express purpose of proving us genuine. I've watched my good friends for the last 6 months. I don't know people of more faith than them. I don't. I don't know anybody. James will say this with me. I don't know anybody that prays like Betty. I don't. They knew God could perform a miracle with their daughter. They knew. They'd seen him do it. They know he's miraculous. They know he is able. God chose to bring about a different triumph. Now here we are, and I couldn't help but think today, James and Betty, here we are after all that suffering. It's been hard. You know, when I knew that their beloved daughter was dying, I just wept and wept and wept and wept because I was with my daughter Melissa at the time, and I'd been on the phone with them, and I tell you, Betty and I were talking for a few minutes, and we were weeping, and I could hear James weeping. I heard groanings. I told my coworkers, I said, I may never get that sound out of my ears. I tell you, these people have suffered. They've suffered. But I cannot help but think that this is part of what has been entrusted to them, to be proved genuine in a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You have been proven genuine through what you have endured, and it's broken our hearts to watch your brokenness, but you have remained steadfast before the Lord, and you have been faithful. You have been faithful. James Robinson, he's going to bring that back to you in souls. He is going to bring that back to you in souls. He has heard your cry. You have asked him over and over to retain a fresh work, to always return a fresh work to you, and he is doing it. I saw it today. I saw it. I know nothing going on right now on the cutting edge that was more powerful than what I watched this afternoon. I know nothing. You and I are going to have to do it too. I don't know what it will look like. We need not be afraid, because on this earth, suffering is not just for those who are saved. This planet's hard to live on. But we have to know that while we're seeing like wild, wild, wild things of God, that simultaneously, we will also be entrusted with trials that are proving us genuine. We'll wonder, why are you doing all this, but this is not happening for me? Why am I going through this suffering? Well, to show that you are different from the weeds. Flesh gets bored easy. The Spirit endures. We'll know it's of the flesh if it like lasts 10 minutes. Like we have a downpour tonight and we are dry tomorrow. Spirit endures. Flesh dries up like this. Whatever we do, we must not try to manufacture a downpour of the Holy Spirit. Whatever we do, we cannot speed God up. What Scripture tells us to do is own our thirst. Say, our land is dry, our land is thirsty. We cannot help God make it happen. All we can do is cry out. Anybody have one of those little noise makers where you can set it on any sound you want to? You can do it like a fan to sleep with. A lot of us who travel with this. I've got one on my iPhone. I can play any kind of sound you can imagine. I can play a storm, wind, rain. I can play a heavy, heavy rain, and I play it all night long, 7 hours hours long, the sound of rain, and I wake up every morning completely dry. We can't just go to our churches and make the sound rain. We're going to make the sound rain. We're going to manufacture. We're going to make the sound rain. We're going to get a sound system. We're going to make the sound rain. We will still leave dry. We'll still leave dry. Because it cannot be manufactured. We can play the sound of rain all we want in our churches and never get wet. Isaiah 45, verse 8. This is God speaking. I love this. This is God himself. The Lord, it says, the Lord said in the very first verse of 45 in 1. And so it's God talking. And then he says in verse 8, shower, O heavens, from above. And let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. Let the earth cause them both to sprout. I, the Lord, have created it. What is it we're going to do? We're going to ask God, God, you speak to the heavens. Speak to that. I love the way the NET Bible says it. Oh, sky, rain down from above. Let the clouds send down showers of deliverance. Let the earth absorb it so salvation may grow and deliverance may sprout up along with it. I, the Lord, created salvation and righteousness. Let the earth open. I believe it's talking about an openness. As we cry out with our hunger and our thirst, I believe he says that the earth will be open. People will be open to salvation. So many more people are open to it than we think. They're having a hard time out there. People need Jesus. They need Jesus. Let's stop being ashamed to say, I think I may know what you may need, because I need it in myself. His name is Jesus.